Okay, Flockies, today you're getting a glimpse into what it actually looks like to stop, listen to your body, pivot, and make decisions that will allow you to thrive based off of what's happening in your cycle and your life circumstances. It's not the episode I anticipated to use as the ending to this four-part mini-series on women's cycles, but it's what I needed to do based off of where I am in my cycle and my life circumstances. And truthfully, I feel like this little peek into the way I'm getting into a rhythm with my own cycle and how I, as a real human, needed to make changes this week will give us all the permission we need to really take all this information we've learned over the past 3 weeks to heart. So listen on. Well, hey there, friend, and welcome to the Joyful Flamingo podcast. I'm your host, Emily Schreiber, and I am obsessed with empowering women to tune into themselves, to zoom in on their own well-being, so in turn, they can lead their most vibrant, aligned, and joyful lives. I want to create a tsunami of self-discovered, self-loved, and self-understood women to show up in this world unapologetically and joyfully, and to pass the torch on for generations to come. If any of that feels aligned with your vibe, stick around. I'm so glad you're here. Now, let's go find our joy. Hey, hey, Joyful Flamingo flock, and welcome to the pod today. This is part D, our last episode in this mini-series on women's cycles. And first, the first thing I want to do is say, how the heck are you? Like really, truthfully, a check-in. How are you? Where are you at in your cycle? Are you beginning to notice things? Are you beginning to track things? Are you beginning to notice a difference in the phases of your cycle? Are you feeling the follicular greatness? Or are you in the midst of your late luteal phase? Ugh, the bane of my existence. All right, so here's the deal. Today is not what I had planned for the pods episode. And truth be told, when I mapped out the roster of episodes and topics for my first quarter of the year, I had planned to talk about perimenopause this week. And I really want to start it by saying, have no fear, that episode will still get written and released within 2024. I think it's a really important topic. There's a lot to discuss there, especially for people who are in my age range. But today is not the day. Today cannot be the day that I do that. And I really struggled with this decision. I am a type A personality. I tend to be an overachiever. I developed a habit years ago of just, you know, pushing through no matter how I felt. I can do it. But I'm not doing it. And I'm choosing not to do it anymore. I decided when I started this podcast that I was going to show up authentically and I was going to ensure that women felt seen, loved, and heard, and that I would offer a space where women could feel that they related to someone, and that I would offer a space where women could feel like they related to someone truly. And how can I create that space if I don't listen to my own body, to my own intuition, and follow the advice and the freaking mantras I've been talking about on this podcast? So this week, I pivoted. No perimenopause today. And I really want to explain why. This is what this episode is going to be. Why I needed to make that change this week. Because it is a perfect culmination and illustration of all the things we've been talking about over the past month in this mini-series about tuning into our cycle as women, our bodies, our infradian clocks, our hormones, and knowing what works best when and what doesn't. When I sat down to map out the schedule for the podcast before 2024 began, I was in my follicular phase when I did that. And that was intentional because my follicular phase is usually a time where I feel like my most creative, my thoughts and ideas, they flow easily. And it was an amazing idea that I did that, that I scheduled that session for myself within that phase because the ideas did flow. I was able to put together the themes and the topics and everything I needed for the first 12 episodes of 2024 basically within a day because I was so on fire. And then generally what I tend to try and do is write any solo episode that's coming up that month and prepare any questions for any guests that are coming up in that month in the first 2 weeks of my cycle, so that they're ready and they're set to go before my motivation and energy decreases in the second half of my cycle. That's generally what I've been doing since the launch of this podcast in October, is really taking my follicular and ovulation phases to create, so that all of that is done in advance and I feel like it's been created in a really flow state. I have to say, I was doing a really good job of that up until now. I was basically always like a few weeks ahead of the content creation. So it felt like I was in a real flow. Everything was releasing and launching smoothly. Also, thanks to my amazing production team, who always is so on top of that end of things for me. But then life happened to us as a family recently, and that flow that I was in got a bit out of whack. And I feel like I need to pivot, yes, because of where I'm at in my cycle, but it is also intertwined with life stuff, you know, as it always is, right? We got to rewind a bit here. Our 5-year-old daughter, if you don't know, has had some kidney and ureter issues since she was in utero. They actually found the issue on my 20-week ultrasound with her. And for the past 5 years, we've been monitoring it with her specialist teams in hopes that maybe she would outgrow the issue as her anatomy grew. But in the summer, this past summer, her team decided that we did need to proceed with surgery. So we were put on the wait list. And then at the end of January, we got a call that they had an opening on February 2nd for her. So we didn't have much time in advance to either prepare mentally or logistically for what was about to happen to our family this month. Now, I had already set out what the mini series was going to be about. I had the topics ready. I had most of that done. But there was still like the doing of the do that needed to happen. And so we didn't have a lot of time to plan logistically for things that needed to pivot within that time. In order to keep her healthy for the surgery, we actually pulled her out of school the week leading up to the surgery. And we also pulled her younger sister out of, you know, she does 2 mornings a week at a co-op, because all you parents can attest to the amount of germs that circulate right now. And we really just needed that surgery to go ahead and get done. We didn't want to postpone it. We didn't want it to be canceled for any certain reason. So we needed her to be healthy. So we pulled them both. She got the open surgery done on February 2nd. And luckily, like I said, I had already pre-recorded the first 2 episodes of the mini series for February at that point, because I was already a few weeks ahead. So I was feeling really confident that even though our schedule and our family flow and routine was going to be a little bit out of whack, I felt confident that everything would still be able to be on track while I focused on really having the kids at home full time again for a while, and also giving my all to making sure that her recovery was smooth. I also was able to record the 3rd episode of the mini series that released just last week with Emma, the week that she got home from the hospital, because my husband was also working from home that week. So he was able to switch out with me so that I could get that done. That was already on the schedule. We were working with time changes because she was in the UK. And I still got that episode recorded, and I was feeling good. I was feeling on track. I knew that I didn't have this last episode that you're listening to right now. I didn't have it written yet, but I figured, you know, I still had a bit of time before my late luteal phase would kick in the month. And so I'd be okay. I'd be good to go. We'd be back to routine. I would probably be in early luteal phase, and I'd still have some flow of thoughts come. And I thought I'd be able to get it done. Because remember, to get an episode to you for a Wednesday, I need to submit it a week in advance to production so that it's ready for release. So I thought we were good. And then, you know, something else happened. And even though her recovery was going really well, one night she woke up around midnight with a little bit of chest pain. And obviously at any time this can be concerning for a parent, but especially for us, you know, she was only about a 1 week post-op at this point. It concerned us. And so we were preparing to take her to emerge. And as we were preparing to do that, my husband actually collapsed face first into her desk in her bedroom. Later on, we found out that they think he fainted from a combination of exhaustion, because we are so tired, as you can all imagine, and stress. He ended up unconscious on the floor with a pretty beat up face. To be honest, I don't remember a lot, but I called an ambulance for the both of them. which took nearly half an hour to show up because apparently 911 got a bunch of calls within the area all at the same time that night. So thankfully, I was also able to call my parents to come to take care of our youngest, who was still sleeping in the dead of night, because I knew I'd have to be going to the hospital with the other two. And they were there with me as we waited for the ambulances to arrive and take us to Emerge. And, you know, fire department came first. We were taken care of. And long story short, thankfully, they're both okay. Hot Hubs has a mild concussion. He had quite a few gashes on his face, but all in all was really lucky that he missed his actual eyeball. And after doing some tests on our oldest, they think it was likely just severe heartburn, which would be really hard as a five-year-old to explain since she's never experienced that before, but she basically just had some reactions to her medications and maybe some food she had eaten. So it all ended up being okay. I think I kind of went into autopilot and just focused on making sure my family was okay for that next week. Like, I wasn't sleeping barely. It felt heavy. It felt like a lot. Then at the end of that week, our oldest had to go back under anesthetic again to take a stent out that they had placed inside her body during the first surgery. So the point of all of this is that this month has knocked the wind out of me. One of my friends said to me this week that some seasons are just hard. And I kind of crumbled, like I am now. This past month has felt really hard. Oftentimes what I try to do is I try to tell myself that my heart is so much easier than other people's heart a lot of the time, that we can get through it, that, you know, there's so much going on in the world that this is just a little blip. But also I know now that we're also just allowed to feel like shit is hard sometimes. You know, it's your truth. It's almost unhealthy. It is. It's unhealthy to never allow yourself to feel that either. That's the backstory. Now I can confidently say that her recovery is going really well. Our girls are back at school. And today I was like, okay, I need to get back to writing this fourth episode in the miniseries for y'all. Remember, I'm writing this a week ago, right? So this is a week ago for you. But guess what? Now that those circumstances have changed and I feel like I have the time to be able to devote to it, guess where I'm at in my cycle? I'm in late luteal. I'm expecting my period in the next day or two, and I still haven't fucking started writing this damn episode on perimenopause. And quite honestly, it was overwhelming to me just thinking about it. My body and my brain couldn't find the energy to think enough to write a more research-based episode. The only thing I could think of that I would be able to get out of my head in time for release for you was just simply explaining where I'm at and how I had to pivot because of life circumstances and where it landed in my own cycle and how I needed to take my own advice and listen to my own body, tune into my infradian clock, my hormonal cycle, and show it up in the way that I'm meant to right now. I am not meant to write and record an entire episode on perimenopause for you today. It is just not meant to be. And I'm listening to my body. I know my hormones have dropped drastically this week. I know I'm low on energy. I know it's not a time for growth or social activities or feeling my best. It's a time to reflect, to get introspective, to focus on myself. So that's what I'm doing. This is the first day I've had like a full 6 hours to myself in weeks and weeks and weeks. So what does today look like for me in my late luteal phase preparing for menstruation? I booked a therapy session, which I know will be extremely weepy because I'm nearing my bleed and because of what's happened over the past month. I started my morning. I popped my sesame and sunflower seed grinds into my system first thing. I made a high protein and fat breakfast with loads of avocado and nuts. I've already taken out a vegetable chili that was made by one of my amazing neighbors to eat for lunch because I know that the sweet potato, the lentils, the carrots, and the warmth in the meal is exactly what will help me in this phase. The exercise I'm going to focus on today will be minimal. It'll be a little bit of strength training, a little bit of Pilates, and a stretch session. I'm not going to go hard on cardio. I'm not going to do a HIIT workout, and I'm going to allow myself to be less productive, to go to bed early, to focus on preparing my body and my soul and my mind for my bleed to come. the more I focus on doing what's right for me in this phase, the better my menstrual phase will be. And the better my menstrual phase is, the better my follicular phase will be. It's all cyclical. And guess what? Next week, I fully expect to feel on fire again. I'll be rocking my follicular phase like nobody's darn business. And I know that it's coming. This is not permanent. It will pass. And I'll be vibing high again soon enough. But I need to take it as it comes. I can't push that phase on myself, that amazing phase, that follicular phase filled with energy, without honoring this phase first. So there you go, Flockies. Today's episode is a short one. It's all I can muster up. It's basically just letting you know why I pivoted, where I'm at in my cycle, what I need to do to listen to my own body, and what I did rather than just pushing through. Take this as your sign to do a real check-in with yourself. Where are you at? What do you need? What changes can you make to listen to what your body's trying to tell you? It's okay to pivot. Sometimes life throws things at you that you cannot control. The only thing you can control is how you react and the choices you make to attempt to feel your best. Always choose you. Go back, re-listen to the first three episodes of this mini-series. How can you tune into your cycle? How can you admit that you thrive best when you go with the flow, when you understand the four phases? Buy the book, In the Flow by Alyssa Beattie, to start your journey along this path if you haven't yet. Talk to other people about it. Flip the ideals on how our days and weeks are meant to be on their head. Change starts with you. It starts with one person. It starts with me, always. If we want a different world for our kids, we need to start creating it for them now. So what can you do after listening to this mini series on your cycle to figure out a better route for yourself? I know that right now this is a short season for me, and soon I'm going to be back in my flow. But for now, I'm focusing on what's most important. And you guys know, that's my kids. That's my hot hubs. And it's also myself. So off I go to therapy. Technically my second session. I felt like this was my first. Off I go to therapy and a walk in the sunshine and to pick up my kiddos and to give them a squeeze and just bathe in our love for each other. And I hope you do the same. Share this episode with a friend who needs the gentle reminder that it's okay to have hard seasons. It's okay to pivot. And what you're meant to do is listen to your body. Listening to your body is the greatest thing you can do for yourself. And the first place to start is understanding your cycle and understanding how to listen to the signals that your body is giving you. Thank you for being here. I'm so grateful for each and every one of you. I hope you got something out of this mini series this month. Thank you for being part of the Joyful Flamingo flock. Until next time. Just a reminder, Flamingo Flock, that I am not a medical or psychological professional. Each one of my episodes has been inspired by my own experience and journey through life and is brought to you through my own opinions and lens. Any suggestions or advice offered here do not substitute proper conversations with your own healthcare professionals for either your physical or mental well-being.